So did you know that as a believer, we don't know without the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we don't know what true forgiveness is truly all about. Do you understand that? We only know true forgiveness through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So that means that true forgiveness can only come out of a love that God has provided unto us. And if we don't accept that love, then we never understand the forgiveness that comes by that. So this is a free gift that God has given to us. It's through the sacrifice. God loved us so much. You've been studying this in Sunday school lesson. God loved us so much that He sacrificed His only begotten Son so that you and I might understand forgiveness in our life. So it's all true forgiveness has always been a part of God's eternal plan. That's what God had in store for us. So upon accepting the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ in our life, then God instilled within us through the indwelling Holy Spirit that now lives within us, He instilled within us His plan of forgiveness. His plan of true forgiveness. So now that has become a permanent part of our life. We don't always act like it, do we? Because there's not always forgiveness there. But it's a permanent part of our life, and it comes through the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit that indwells within us. Who could tell me those 9 characteristics just right off the top of your head? Okay, we got some of them?
Long-suffering.
Okay. Come on. Yeah, okay. We're doing... So, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Let me, verses 22 and 23. Let me take you there for just a minute and tell you what these are. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, here's what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. And it said, against there is no law. Now, we're going to come back to them in just a minute because I want you to see what it takes to have true forgiveness in our life. So in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, I want to go over there for just 1 minute. I want to read one scripture, chapter 4, verse 32. And here is how Paul explained to the church of Ephesus where true forgiveness came from. And he said, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Now listen to this part. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you have not accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ, if I had not accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ, then I have not experienced the true forgiveness of God. So therefore, I cannot give or accept true forgiveness because I don't know what it is in my life. So here I want to explain how this worked. So what happened was that God extended unto mankind through the sacrifice of His Son, He extended unto us an unconditional love. Now, if you're like me, you don't know what an unconditional love is because there's many characteristics to an unconditional love of Christ. So here is some of the characteristics of what it is. So it means that, first of all, it's a love that does not have anything to do with self. It is a selfless love, this unconditional love that God gives us. It is an unchanging love. So that means you don't like this person today and then like them tomorrow. It's an unchanging love. We love the two greatest commandments Christ said was what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and love thy
neighbor.
Good job. As thyself. How many times did we break it this morning? Anybody? Okay. All right. So this is what it's all about. It is a love that is not based upon. So here's where we go wrong a lot of times with unconditional love. It is a love that is not based upon our worldly human emotions or our behavior. And most of the things that we do in our life, we base off of our worldly human emotions and our behavior. So therefore, you got to strike that. You got to get rid of that, because God does not want that in our life, because everything that God does for us in our life is eternal. His love is eternal. So this love in our life, here's how it comes forth. The Holy Spirit is indwelling in there. He's helping us make choices in our life. So the only way that it can come forth is through our humility and by our obedience to the Word of God. So that means what? Study, study, study. The Second Timothy says what? Study to show thyself approved. What? Unto the preacher. Are you with me? That's how I get money. No. Unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we could preach on rightly dividing the word of truth all day long, but we're not going to get into that today. That's for a Bible study. But rightly dividing the word of truth. So that means that this unconditional love, we have to let go. And here, we don't want to let go of these things in our life. I don't like to let go of all of them in my life. But we have to let go of worldly bitterness. Are you with me? Worldly bitterness. We got to let go of envy. We got to let go of jealousy. We've got to let go of malice, of strife, of anger. All of these things, if you go back into Galatians chapter 5, it'll give you a list of all those things right before it tells you what the fruit of the Spirit is. So he said we got to let go of all of that stuff, and we have to trust, okay, pay attention to this, we have to trust in the judgment of God rather than our own form of justice. Do you know you have your own form of justice? I have my own form of justice. My wife reminds me about it all the time. So we have to, this is where we're at in our life. So our own form of justice comes because we harbor a heart full of resentment towards the people around us. We got to get rid of that. No resentment. None, no resentment at all. We forgive. Pay attention to this. We can only forgive because we've been forgiven. That's it. That's as simple and as plain as we can put it. We don't forgive because we feel somebody deserves it. Because if that's why you're forgiving somebody, it's not doing you or them a bit of good in your life. Philippians chapter 2. Let me read a couple verses in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Well, there's a lot of characteristics of forgiveness through this chapter, but we're just through the first five verses, there's a lot of characteristics of forgiveness. He says, therefore, if any consolation, meaning compassion, if there's any of that in Christ Jesus, so if you have any of the compassion of Christ within you, here's what he says, then there's going to be comfort of love. There's going to be fellowship of the Spirit. There's going to be bowels of mercy, meaning depths of mercy. Your forgiveness isn't going to be shallow, but it's going to be meaningful. It's going to be something that God has in store for us in our life. He said, if so, then he said, fulfill ye my joy and be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now, he goes on to say, if you're experiencing this true forgiveness, then he said, let nothing be done through what? Strife, meaning conflict. There should be no conflict in our lives. If Satan's got something going on and there's conflict in our life, you can't blame it on somebody else. You can only blame it on yourself. Because there should be no conflict going on in our life. So he said nothing should be done through conflict or vainglory, meaning arrogance. Arrogant. How many of us are arrogant in our spiritual life? We're arrogant in our worldly life. There's no doubt about that. But in our spiritual life, how many of us are arrogant? Here's what this scripture says. Here's what I believe. This is the way it is, and this is the way it's going to be. Arrogance in our spiritual life. God does not want that. He wants compassion. He wants love. So he goes on to say, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem the other better than themselves. So we're going to start lifting one another up around here. Some of you's going to have to lose some weight because I can't lift that much. I got a bad back. But we're going to start lifting one another up around here. And he said, let every man, he said, not look every man on his own things, but look every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, because this is the mind that was in Jesus Christ. If we got anything else going on up there other than what Christ wants going on up there, we're not living in the mind of Christ. So he said, true forgiveness, okay, a lot. So I done something, let's say I done something to Kenneth yesterday. I might feel a little bit guilty about it. So I say, okay, I'm sorry, Kenneth, I done that. I hope you believe that. See, true forgiveness is active. It's just not some words coming out of your mouth. True forgiveness, it's an active forgiveness. We're not just going to say our sorry about something or I give you forgiveness or I accept your forgiveness. But the active part of it is we're going to lift one another up, and here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it by recognizing each other's self-worth in God, not in yourself. You have no self-worth of your own. I have no self-worth of my own. But the self-worth that you have comes from God. So we're looking for that. When I look at you, if I'm looking at you in any way other than the self-worth that God gave you, I'm looking at you the wrong way. I'm not looking at you the way God wants me to look at you. So we're going to view each one, each other, we're going to view each other through the eyes of God. When I look, I'm going to look through the eyes of God. That's how I should be seeing you, because each one of us is a created being in His image. Okay? So this is how we need to see one another. And everybody is worthy of the hope of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me you've met one person and they just, boy, I hope they don't make it to heaven, because that wouldn't be right. Everybody is worthy of God's hope of salvation. So here's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to turn to Luke, and I'm going to give you, this is the greatest example I can give you of what true forgiveness is all about. So if you'll turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 23. And I'm going to start with verse 33. Luke 23:33. And it says, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they what? They crucified him. Why? Because they didn't understand true forgiveness. They were getting ready to crucify the only one that could explain to them true forgiveness. And you know, even hanging on the cross, he explained it to them. And it said, and the malefactors, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus, talking to the Father, here's what he said. Father, what? Forgive them. Because he knew what true forgiveness was. If it would have been the rest of us, there wouldn't have been nobody forgiven that day. But he knew what true forgiveness was. So every day, Everything that we do, in order to understand, because I want you to get an understanding of what this kind of forgiveness is. And this forgiveness was given by Christ while he hung up on the cross. And it wasn't a spur of the moment forgiveness like you and I give. This forgiveness had been given and accepted long before the foundation of the earth ever took place. Do you know that? Huh? So that means in our life, we've accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We've accepted that true forgiveness. So that means if the Lord tarries and we're still here in 5 years and somebody has wronged you, that true forgiveness has already been taken care of today. It was already taken care of before the foundation of the earth. We didn't understand that, did we? So this is the understanding that we need to come to in our life. That as believers who has accepted the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, God instilled within us this true forgiveness. It is, listen to this, it is a permanent part of our life. You can't turn it off and turn it on, even though we try. It's there. It's a permanent part of our being, and it comes through those 9 characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about. So that means that true forgiveness in our life is not without godly characteristics. So every time we want to give or accept forgiveness, here's the way it should be. Let's jump back there. We're going to be in Galatians here for a couple verses. Let's jump that. So accepting and giving true, if you can't do it with these 9 characteristics in mind, don't do it. Okay? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So that means everything that we do in our life, we have to align our behavior with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So when you got up this morning, was the first thing that you done when you talked to the Lord, did you say, Lord, make sure my behavior today is in line with the Holy Spirit? So that means I'm going to go through my day now without the anger, the anguish, the anxiety, the stress, because I'm aligning my day with the Holy Spirit. These are the qualities that God wants us to have in our life. These are qualities that are eternal. They're not temporary qualities. They're eternal qualities, and they're based upon our life in Christ. The life that we now live in the flesh, I'm going to get to that verse in a minute. We live by God. We live by Christ. So in Galatians, let's back up to chapter 2 in Galatians. Chapter 2, verse 20. And we're going to talk about that here just for a second. He says, I am crucified with Christ, okay? And Paul wanted you to know that just because I was crucified with Christ, it didn't mean I died physically. So I died how? Spiritually. I died to the old self. I was crucified with Christ. But he said, because of that, I'm alive, okay? Because I was crucified with Christ, I am alive. But he said, it's not me. It's not, it is no longer me. So the next time something comes up in your life, you need to look at this and you need to say, oh, that's not me. So don't do it. He said, it's not me, but it's Christ who lives within me. My life is Christ living within me. Let's say that together. My life is Christ living within me. That's the way it should be. And he said, now The life that I live in the flesh now, it's going to mean something. You know, it didn't mean anything before you were saved. Your life, it meant nothing before we were saved. But now it means something. I live by the faith of the Son of God, the Son of God who loved me, the Son of God who gave Himself for me, the Son of God who forgave me. Okay? This is the life that we now live. So when you were saved, a spiritual exchange took place in your life. Yeah. All right, when Christ hung up on the cross, He took everybody's sin debt. All right, and so He took it as far as the east is from the west. Many things went on, but He took everybody's sin debt. So that means when we accepted that saving grace of Jesus Christ, because God took allowed His Son to take our sin debt, we gain now the righteousness of Christ. That's the only way God can communicate with us. He can't communicate with our old self when we're not saved. But now He can communicate with us because He's communicating with us through the righteousness of Christ. So now our daily life, the life that we live every day, is sustained by our complete trust and faith in Him. So if you're sitting there and got doubts about whether your daily life is sustained by your complete faith and trust in God, it's because you made the wrong choice. And we need to make the choice to allow the Holy Spirit to sustain us in our life by trusting completely and wholly unto God. So we're hidden in Christ, so to speak, because now we find our purpose to live in Him. If you're trying to find your purpose to live in the world, you're not going to find it, and you just aren't going to live. You're going to give up. I've heard people say, I'll just go. I'll sit there and listen. I'll just sit there and die if I have to. See, we give up because we have not chosen to find our purpose by putting our faith and our trust in God. So we have to choose to live out our salvation through our faith in Christ. You know, a lot of times we choose to live out our salvation by just trying to avoid doing those things that are not pleasing unto God. You know, you can't do that. I can't go through my day avoiding things in my life that aren't pleasing unto God. So that means at the end of the day, I have to do what? I have to go to the Lord for forgiveness. And He says, if I ask, He is faithful and just to what? He will forgive me and cleanse me of all that unrighteousness. But it would be better if I would just go through my day without trying to avoid the things that aren't pleasing unto God. It would be better to say, God, is this pleasing unto You? And He would say, no, don't do that. And I would go ahead and do it anyhow. Oh, no, I'm not supposed to go ahead and do it anyhow. And I wouldn't do it. And then I wouldn't have to. So these are things, when we talk about the forgiveness of God, it's a forgiveness, it's a planned forgiveness that has been instilled within us. And we can't say that it's not instilled within us. And if you, let me just read you this real quick and then we'll go to the Psalms. Oh, back over in Galatians chapter 2 we was in, verse 20. I'm going to give you 21. And he says, Paul said, because I am crucified with Christ, here's what he said. I do not frustrate the grace of God. So I asked my wife, did I frustrate you this morning? Sure. So therefore I frustrate. I'm going to use myself as an example. I know the rest of you won't admit it. So if I frustrated her, did I frustrate God? Sure. Of course. So everything that we do in our life, we only look at the people around us or the situations or the circumstances around us. But as believers, everything that we do reflects upon God. So if you frustrated this person, you frustrated God. If you didn't love this person, you didn't love God. You see where I'm going? No, I don't want to admit that. But this is what God wants us to see in our life. So jump with me real quick back into Psalms. The book of Psalm, the 130th Psalm, verse 1 through 5. And here's what David said, because David went through a lot of this in his life and he come to realize this. And here's what he said. Out of the depths. Okay. How many of you lay down at night and say, "Oh Lord, forgive me my sins today. Help me through the night. Wake me up again in the morning." There was no depth to that. David said, out of the depths. Meaning, I asked the Holy Spirit to help me to search, and out of the depth, he said, I cried unto the Lord. So this was a prayer worthy of hearing, because he said, Lord, hear my voice. Let my ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, then, O Lord, who shall stand? David said, Lord, if you hold every iniquity against me, the things that I've done, I'll never make it. So he said, for this reason, I'm searching the depths. I'm asking forgiveness. And you know what Christ says? That forgiveness was given before the foundation of the world. You just need to understand that it's there. And that's the way our forgiveness should be. So he said, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. So we only learn true forgiveness when we acknowledge, first of all, we can't save ourselves. It's not going to happen. And we acknowledge that we need the divine intervention of God in our life. We need that. It's a must. And that means every moment of every day, in every situation, in every circumstance, in every trial, in every tribulation, in everything that we fall to temptation to, we need or we must look to God. And when we begin to look to God, we know that He is attentive to our needs, the things that we're bringing unto Him, because we are known unto Him by the capacity of the righteousness of the Son of God that lives within us. So He knows that since that's there, we can truly ask for forgiveness, and it's already been taken care of in our life. We don't have to worry. If we're obedient to God, then the fear of judgment goes away. It encourages repentance in our life through the grace of God. And this is what helps to motivate us to live a life that glorifies God. One more verse in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. I love this verse. He said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Okay? Now, let me just explain that for a second. When he says, come now and let us reason together, that doesn't mean let us negotiate. Okay? We're horse traders, aren't we, Susie? Oh, Lord, I'm standing here before you, and if you'll do this, I'll do that. There's no reasoning to that. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He said, so that our sins would be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, they shall be red like crimson, and they shall be like wool. So the next time you go to the Lord in prayer, it's because God wants us to come, and now this reasoning process is going to start. And God's going to say, here's what you need to do in your life. He's given us instruction through the promises and the commandments of the Word. But he said the only way that this process is going to work, if you look in verse 19, he says you got to be willing and you got to be obedient. If you went to the Lord without those two things in mind, you might as well not have went. Because there's not going to be no reasoning. It's all going to be one-sided. God, here's what I need. Please give it to me. People come up to me all the time and say, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed about this and this and this. God never has answered my prayer. Why is that? I could give you a whole list of reasons, but you'd be mad. But the first one would be, you probably weren't willing, and you probably weren't obedient. So he says, if you be willing and you be obedient, then you shall eat of the good of the land. So true forgiveness symbolizes God's power to not only cleanse us, but to restore us into his righteousness. And he invites us as believers to reason together. And it's all about the need for redemption. It's all about the need for salvation. Because true forgiveness is based upon the sacrifice of Christ. So that means in your life and in my life, there can never be true forgiveness accepted or received without some sacrifice on our part. See, we expect others to sacrifice. I'll forgive you if you do this. I'll accept your forgiveness if you do this. I'll give you forgiveness if you do this. See, there was no sacrifice on my part. So that means there's no true forgiveness. Because true forgiveness only comes through sacrifice. And it was a planned, divine act of God's mercy. And it repaired the broken relationship between him and humanity. And that can only happen through true forgiveness. He done his part. You know, there's nothing more that God could do to save you and I. He's already done it all. We have to choose. So, in order for us to experience giving and receiving, it can only happen through and by being a reflection of God's grace. I could tell you all day long to go give or receive forgiveness to somebody, but if it doesn't come through the grace of God, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to take place. So this is what allows us to remain firmly in God's love. And when we start to experience this in our life, then and only then, when this happens, when true forgiveness needs to take place, the giving and the receiving, when this happens, you know, every time that this comes about in your life, the first image that should come into your mind is the one we read about where Christ was hanging on the cross. And when you can get to that place, when I can get to that place in my life, then I could truly say, Father, forgive them. But I've got to get there. So that's the only way that we're going to know and remember what true forgiveness is. And you got to remember as well that when you get to the place where you think you can say, Father, forgive, because true forgiveness can't come from you. It's got to come from God. But you got to remember that it works together. It's giving and receiving both at the same time. If you think you're just giving and not receiving nothing, or you're receiving and not giving nothing, you're a long way from true forgiveness. Our true forgiveness has to be what Christ taught us on the cross. Father, forgive them. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again. Thank you, Lord, for the relationship that we can have with you, with your Son, through the Holy Spirit, by accepting that gift of salvation that only can come through your true forgiveness. And we would just pray that each day in our life, Lord, that this would bear upon our mind, so that as we go out into the world and we live the life, we pray, that is pleasing unto thee, the life that you have planned for us, Heavenly Father. Lord, that forgiveness is always a part of that life, because the only reason we have that life is because of forgiveness. So we pray this day, Lord, that you would help us to understand. You would help us, Lord, to search deep into our life. And that every day you would show us something, Lord, new to reason, to come to reason with you about, Heavenly Father, to turn over to you, Lord, so that each day the joy and the happiness of our relationship with you, Lord, would grow stronger. Lord, if our relationship with you grows stronger, our relationship with others around us grows stronger. And we need this in our life in Christ. Help me, Lord, to always be humble and obedient to your word, to study and to pray through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, that I am always communicating with you and not with the world around me. Help me, Lord, to be thankful and to lift you up before each and every one that you allow me to come in contact with in my life. Help me, Lord, to ask for forgiveness of those things in my life that aren't pleasing unto thee. And help me, Lord, to live a life that will always let the light of your good works shine forth and glorify you. And all these things I ask in thy most precious and holy name. And amen.
Amen.
We're going to have a song this morning.
383.
If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, if you're here this morning, if you have a need or a burden, if you just want to talk to the Lord, then I invite you to an altar of prayer. 383. A couple quick announcements. There is lunch being served, and then the baptism at 1:30. So we would like, if you want, we'd like for you to stay, have lunch with us, stay and enjoy the baptism service. Susie already announced, but next Sunday, sunrise service will be at 7. Breakfast to follow, and then Sunday school to follow after that. Now, Sunday school, I'm going to teach. So I have a couple requirements.
But we still have a time limit.
Yeah.
Who said that? Well, we're going to start early then. You must bring a piece of paper and something to write with. This will be a full participation, because even the young people will be up here with us. Sunday school lesson. So come out. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. Huh?
Preaching? Sunrise.
Oh, we'll have preaching at sunrise service.
And
I don't think you could stand listening to me three times. Yeah, and we'll be having communion together at sunrise service as well. So, but okay, does anybody else have anything?
Keep Dean in prayer. She had to step out. She's not going out.
Okay.